This Monday.com ad was created by a team of people and AI agents. The agents wrote the copy and managed the timelines, while our human creative director made sure it all made sense. Easy. Create your own AI agent today on Monday.com.
Ladies and gentlemen. Podcasting since 2005. You are listening to Gamertag Radio with your hosts Godfrey, Pete Rock, Paris, Pasta. I won this one.
Come on. Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 514. This is your host, Godfrey, and also let's introduce my co-host, Paris. So, Paris?
I'm excited, man. We got a special guest this week.
Yeah, Nicholas.
Howdy.
Of Co-Optimus. What's up?
Not much. Happy to be here. I think, as long as I've known you guys, I don't think I've ever been on an episode of GTR.
We've been through, like, together, like, different events and stuff.
Yeah. We probably done some live things and stuff. Like that.
That's cool, man. But for those that don't know about your website, tell us a little bit about that before we move on.
So, Co-Optimus is it's a database of cooperative video games. So, if you don't want to play against people, you want to play with people against the computer. It's all about, you know, sitting on the couch with your wife or your boyfriend and, you know, your brother or whatnot, and playing games together. That's what we're about. It's about finding whether you can play them, you know, on a couch or online.
Nice.
And you know, what features it has. And, you know, we do reviews and news and stuff like that, too.
Mm-hmm.
But,
awesome.
You know, our hook's the database, finding the next great game to play with your gaming partners.
All right. Cool, man. Well, for those that want to check it out, cooptimus.com, right? Or is it?
Yep.
That's okay, cool. And Paris, Halo 5, we reviewed that last episode. Great feedback from everyone.
Oh, yeah. The feedback's been pretty good so far. And I think, aren't we going to get into a little discussion about Halo 5 again?
Yeah. Here? We definitely got to talk about that later.
Because Miss Cleo's going to say something at the end.
Okay,
but I have to say real quick, just having Nick on here, and it was funny because you had tweeted out something yesterday and it just brought back all the feels of the memories. We first met at Microsoft for the Halo 3 community event, and then it was 8 years ago. It doesn't seem, that's crazy. Insane. It's just so amazing how much time flies by and a lot of pounds later too. So
awesome. Well, same for me, man. That was a surreal event going to Microsoft and launching that game at it was at a Best Buy right there.
Bill Gates was there. Yeah, it was crazy.
It was nuts. So yeah, that was a good time.
Man, 8 years. Wow, that's a very long time. All right, so head over to gamertagradio.com or play.it. Listen to our past episodes and send us your feedback. Give us a call, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. Email us, fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Next episode, we have a couple of reviews, Assassin's Creed Syndicate and also Guitar Hero Live. So stay tuned for that. But this week, we are going to be talking about the new Alienware Steam Machine and, of course, some stuff about Halo 5, which we're getting a lot of feedback from everybody, man, about the review and about the game. And a lot of people were asking us about questions about the campaign. Every time a Halo game comes out, there's always controversy. Either the multiplayer, people are complaining about that, or people are complaining about the campaign. So we've been getting feedback about that everywhere. So, but before we go to the Alienware Steam Machine, Nick, I want to ask you, like, what are your thoughts of Halo 5? I know we play a couple times, no issues. It was very smooth, the campaign, playing full player co-op, but man, legendary, tough.
Yeah, it was brutal. So, I mean, the big thing that we've been hearing at Co-Optimus and stuff, everyone's mad that they took out the couch co-op play. Every single Halo game Even the non-FPS Halo Wars had couch co-op play. So this was the first one that didn't. And so there's, you know, everyone thinks it's a money-making scheme from Microsoft and this and that, that they took it out. But yeah, like you said, it was super smooth when we played online. There was literally like no lag at all. Very silky smooth, 60 frames per second. And that was on Legendary. So, you know, there's plenty of guys and chaos happening. So I think that dedicated server stuff for co-op paid off, at least there, for people that play online.
Well, let me ask you, what are your thoughts of the campaign? Because I've been going back and forth, like, you know, reading the reviews. And mm-hmm. like, I enjoy the campaign, right? But I can understand for those that, let's say, never read the books or they never got to play previous Halo games, it could get really, really confusing and you know, while playing the campaign. But do you guys feel the same way about it too? Or like, for someone that doesn't know anything about Halo, it's their first time playing Halo, getting Xbox One, everything like that.
I mean, yeah, it definitely wasn't the smoothest kind of transition. You know, there was no like previously on Halo kind of a
yeah.
thing.
yeah.
So if you weren't familiar with even Halo 4, or the universe, you're kind of left in the dark a little bit. And I said this in my review on Co-Optimus, actually. I felt like a couple missions, even from mission to mission, like we were missing something. Like there was almost like a mission was cut or a cutscene wasn't there or something, just to kind of transition what was happening. So
out of all the characters, I like the most Buck mm-hmm. out of everybody. Like, I don't know, for some reason I got this like good vibe, and it was like certain things he was saying was kind of funny and everything. But like Locke, there was no connection.
Uh-huh.
But I understand why they went this way, and I think that maybe in the future they probably will release like two different Halo games now with Locke's crew and Master Chief, and you know what I'm saying? Like, it's that. It's just me like thinking like that might happen. But at the same time, it's like I had a great time playing the campaign. Yes, the story is not 100% perfect, but I had a great time, and I think that a lot of people are like, I was sending this to Paris, like on our private chat and stuff. Like, I feel that out of every Halo game, Halo 2, people complain about the story. The ending was ridiculous, which I didn't like it, you know. But to this day, that is the game that everybody always talks about out of all the Halo games. And it's because the online, multiplayer-wise, it mm-hmm. changed online gaming forever, you know?
Yeah.
I was not impressed with the multiplayer of Halo 3. Story was okay. I think Reach, to me, was like one of my favorite campaigns, I think, out of all Halos, you know?
Agreed.
And even with this, are they having four-player co-op? Like, it makes sense. Before, it was just Master Chief with four different screens. Maybe Halo 2 was a little bit different when it comes to that with mm-hmm.
The Arbiter.
With Arbiter and stuff. Yeah, that makes a little bit, you know, much sense, but I don't know, Paris, I know you had to say, like, you want to say like a lot of things about that. So go for it, man. Your mic is yours, man.
And again, this episode isn't about Halo 5.
No, it's not
so
it's
much
not.
So. But I agree with what Nick is saying. And I know we did our review and I know everything we said on there. And I stand by everything that we said on that review. But just as the days have passed and I've really been reflecting on that campaign and what we played and what came out of that story, I'm convinced they pulled a Destiny and it changed. It changed in the last year, because if you look at the ad campaigns and everything that's been going on with Halo 5, they were setting up this conflict of Master Chief, the traitor, and just a whole conflict between him and Locke. We didn't really get that at all in this game, you know? And to me, the way it ended and just the whole twist and everything that was in it, again, no spoilers, not trying to spoil anything, but it just felt rushed. It didn't feel like something that they'd been working on for years and building up to from Halo 4. It felt like, oh crap, the direction that we're going doesn't make sense. We got to get something out on the ship date because we promised to change the story. That's what I think happened. I mean, even look back when at that the Xbox One reveal, at E3, the Halo 5 teaser then. You got Master Chief in the desert and all this. Where was that in the game? Even go to the Master Chief collection, just the little cutscenes that you had with Locke and the Arbiter in there. Mm-hmm. They changed the game. In my personal opinion, and yeah. here's what I'm trying to say on that. Just to sum it up really quick. The campaign, the gameplay of it is fantastic. Like I said in the review, this game was meant to be played with three of your buddies. There's no doubt about it. I'm not taking look, Halo 5 is a technical marvel for what they were able to pull off and keep that consistent 60 frames per second, silky smooth, like you said, with the multiplayer, everything. That's fine. Not complaining about that at all. I'm strictly talking about the story itself. It felt underwhelming to me. And like you bring up the Halo 2 thing, and I know I kind of backtrack a little bit off of in the review where I didn't want to take it that extreme. Thinking about it more, I kind of do want to take it that extreme. I really feel that this was a Halo 2 type job. It really feels that way. Like when we look back at Halo 5 10 years from now, this story is just going to feel very insignificant in the grand scheme of whatever it is they're trying to do. I just felt like this was just a stepping stone to get us to the true story that they're trying to tell in Halo 6. What did we really get resolved in Halo 5? Nothing. Nothing.
No, there's more questions, of course. Yeah. There's more questions. Yeah, so it's like, I hope they're answering on 6. Make sense.
I certainly hope so. I certainly hope so. Like I said, I've not listened to Hunt the Truth or any of that, but it seems to me there wasn't a lot of that integrated into this game either, which it not necessarily needed to be because not everyone's going to listen to that. But it just feels to me like something changed in this game. I can't put my finger on it, but something about it is off with the story.
Can I ask you guys one other random thing that has to do about it? What do you think? What do you think of the menu system? The game, does it feel very underwhelming to you?
Certain things, yes. Like I think that the menu system, while you go to the multiplayer part, I like it, love it. The main screen, not so much.
Yeah, like
it feels like something is missing there, or it's like way too simple. I don't know. Maybe it's just me.
No, that's the first feeling I got too when I fired it up and I looked at it. I was like, wait, this looks like placeholder. Like, that's what I thought.
I mean, like, compare it to Halo 3's menu, for example. It's, and that game was like, hey, like we were saying, that game was 8 years old. And I think that UI was better than what we got on this one. So, no, I totally agree.
Even Halo 2 menu was a little bit better. Easier to find friends, easier to, I don't know.
All I'm saying is this. There's any Halo fan, pick up the game and play it. Absolutely. I'm not taking that, saying to not do that at all, but something about it is off. I just can't put my finger on it.
But here's the thing. Once you load up the game, it's a different world, though. That's like a different ballgame. Forget about the story and the playing the campaign is, I love it. To me, I think out of all the games that I play this year, this definitely goes to my top five of the year. I think so. Although, as a first person shooter game, Paris, mention one first person shooter game that came out this year that has been better than Halo when it comes
to multiplayer. Don't make me say it because say then it. I'm going to get hate mail.
Oh, Destiny, take it to Game King. That's what you're going to say?
Of course, that's what I'm going to say.
Come on, Paris.
Hey, look, that's not what this podcast is about. Well, let's talk about that another day.
Yeah, whatever. It's all good. Go after Paris, guys. You love Halo, go after Paris.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is Gamer Tag Radio. Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
Your season-long fantasy football team may be going strong, but you don't have to wait until week 16 to get paid. Put your fantasy skills to the test every week this season at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site. One-week fantasy means no season-long commitments. Got an injured player? No problem. It's like a new season every week, so you're never stuck with the same players. And get this, DraftKings is crowning a new millionaire every week this season. You could turn your love of football into a life-changing payday. Just pick your players, pile up the points, pick up your cash, that's it. Believe me, you've never experienced football like this before. This isn't fantasy as usual. This is DraftKings. Welcome to the big time. And like we've been telling you guys all season, folks, NFL is finally here. It's football time. We're ready to go. You don't have to be stuck in your typical fantasy draft leagues. You can do DraftKings, and every week is a new week. So I'm super excited to get this going now. So let's get into some DraftKings. But before you do, hurry over to DraftKings now and use our promo code GAMERTAG to play for a free shot at $1 million in this week's Millionaire Maker event. Enter GAMERTAG for a free entry now only at DraftKings.com. That is DraftKings.com. Once again, DraftKings.com.
This is GAMERTAG Radio. Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
But now, before we go to the Steam Machine stuff, very quick, Nick, what can I know you talked about Co-Optimus and everything like that, your website. Mm-hmm. Now, we've been getting a lot of questions from the listeners about games not featuring local co-op type thing. And I know there is games out there, you know, it's just got to look for it. Like, I know the last major game that came out that has that, Forza Motorsport, Forza 6. You could play split screen, which is cool. You know, or if, hey, you want to go back to the remastered stuff, you could try out, you know, Castle Crashers and stuff. But more and more, I see that companies are removing that from their games, especially like the major, major games, you know? So what are your thoughts about that?
Here's what's happening. The AAA titles, because of the drive and push towards graphic fidelity and all that other kind of stuff, they opt to not put it in, I think. That said, there is a overabundance of indie and smaller kind of mid-tier games that have local co-op and local play. There's a ton. We actually had an article probably about a year and a half ago that basically we did some statistical data analysis of stuff, and there's actually more couch co-op games today than there were 5 years ago.
Really? Okay.
Like, released that each year. Like, but in terms of the AAA stuff, you know, your Halos now, and several other ones, they are becoming tougher and tougher to find.
Interesting.
So, and I think it is. I think it's because there's such a focus on graphics and stuff like that, and they just don't want to sacrifice that.
Makes sense. Paris, any question before we go to the Alienware stuff?
No, let's just go into the Alienware stuff. I'm excited to ask you guys some questions.
All right. Well, shout out to Alienware, because they sent us a review copy of the Alienware Steam Machine that's coming out November 10th. This is not a review. And the reason why I'm going to say this is because I've been really focusing on reviewing other stuff like Halo, Guitar Hero. I know Paris and Pete been focusing on other stuff too, like the Assassin's Creed game and all that. So hopefully sometime in November, I'm going to have like an official review on a podcast. So I want to take my time. And the reason also why I want to wait is because like I've been playing here and there, and I like the setup. You know, and the thing is, I want for the listeners to recommend me games for Steam, SteamOS, stuff that I should download. I'll download it. Like, I know I have like the mainstream stuff like BioShock and all the Valve games and stuff like that, right? But I think that there's still time for developers to make changes to their games, maybe so it could be available for SteamOS, like for Alienware, Steam Machine, and stuff like that. Because right now, and hopefully you agree with me, Nick. I mean, look, I'm not a PC guy, you know. But I started this machine with an open mind. I wanted to play it, try it out. And because the thing is, Paris and P, they're like huge Steam fans. Huge, huge. Because they're always talking about all their games. It's super cheap and everything, right? So I turned it on, and I love the layout and everything of the dashboard and stuff for SteamOS. But it was very, very hard for me to find. There was so many games. So I'm trying to figure out which games I need to download first. Like, I have all the Valve stuff, you know, all the AAA stuff.
Yeah.
But I also want to get like those independent games that are sleepers that people are telling me that is really, really good, that's not available for like PlayStation or Xbox. So I'm trying to take my time to do research and download those games and just sit back and just try it out with these with the new controller and everything, you know?
Yeah.
So far, I love the console. I like it. I love the concept and everything. Here's the thing. If I had a PC, it would be a plus for me because I could also stream games that's available that I have on my PC that I can't download on my Steam machine. So I could just stream from the computer to the device and I could just play on my TV, you know? The first time I tried this controller, I'm not going to lie, it felt a little bit weird. But let me tell you, if you do get this controller or this device, I highly recommend to try out Portal 2 first. It felt right with that controller. Like I picked it up, I played it smooth, no issues, nothing like that, you know? But I want to get your feedback too with that. Like the first time you held this controller, the Steam controller, how was it for you at first? And which game you tried out first too?
Yeah, it was awkward for me too. The divisive thing on it is that right where the right analog stick would essentially be is a touchpad now, right?
Yes. Correct.
So that is essentially your mouse emulation. And the first game I tried with it was actually Borderlands 2. And I did try Portal as well. And you're right, it works a little bit better in Portal, but Borderlands 2, it didn't work for me almost at all. Worked, but I felt like I was fighting the controller the entire time.
And here's the thing, I feel that it depends on the developers. And also, you could also depend on the community, because that's another thing I forgot to mention, that when you download a game and you want to set up the controller, you have a choice. You could download templates from the community,
mm-hmm.
or let's say the developer added this as the controller is going to work for this game. You could download that template. But I would like to get templates from the community, because they're the ones that are making this controller even better. And that's why it's a little bit early, because not that many people have the controller. You know, the controller is going to come out after November 10th when the launches and stuff. So I downloaded a couple games and I downloaded a template from the community and it worked well. Like some games, it worked perfectly, you know, others it didn't. So that's why I'm trying to give it a chance, you know? So I know Paris is very, very curious about this controller. I think that at first when I started playing Portal 2, I felt like it was like too fast for me, like moving around with that part of the right side of the controller. And I had to slow down a little bit because sensitivity was, I think, a little bit too high. But once you get it right, it felt good. I picked it up fast. Like it wasn't something too difficult. No. Now there were certain games that I picked up. I downloaded. It wasn't working right with. Maybe because I downloaded the wrong type of template for that particular game. So that's why I want to do a little bit more research, and I want to try to get feedback from the listeners of games that I should download. Like I know David recommended me a couple of independent games that's pretty cool so far that I downloaded and stuff. So, but overall, the console, I think that's one of the things I was expecting this console to be a little bit big, like, you know, maybe a little bit smaller than the Xbox One, but I was not expecting this to be the same size as the Wii U at all. It's a 1 terabyte hard drive, correct?
Yeah.
Now, what is the difference between this and Alpha?
So the Alpha had a little bit older NVIDIA processor in it, and it also had, I think, the older Intel processor.
Okay.
And then I think the base configuration is like 8 gig of RAM, where the Alpha started at 4. So it's slightly beefed up specs over last year's model. And the Alpha was the one that basically they had with Windows 8. You know, same form factor and everything. But
did you also connect to your Xbox 360 controller? Because I did, and it worked.
Yeah,
perfectly fine.
I did. Yeah, so I'm probably just real quick. I mean, I'm probably in a different boat than you. So I'm a big PC gamer. I already have a Steam library of almost 700 games.
Oh, there you go. He is a huge fan. there you go.
So I got to, you know, I tested out the streaming stuff. It's kind of nice. It integrates your library with what you have on your desktop PC, with what you have installed locally. It gives you the option to stream or play the local version. You know, graphically wise, like I said, I played Borderlands 2. You know, I ran it at 1080p, pretty much high graphic settings across the board, and it was, you know, 60 frames per second, really smooth. Mm-hmm. You know, it's an impressive little machine for sure. And I think for the bulk of people, there's plenty of content to play on it. Of my like 600, I think I'm close to 700 games. There's about 250 of them that can be played natively on the box. So a little bit more than like a third, close to half.
If I could jump in, because I think that's the one thing I want you guys to kind of explain. Why is there a difference playing it on the Steam machine versus playing on a Windows PC that you're seeing the difference in the amount of games that you can play? Can you talk about SteamOS? What are your impressions so far of that operating system?
So the reason that you're limited to playing stuff locally, that is downloading it, installing it, and playing it locally on the machine, is that it's a Linux-based OS. In terms of the interface, it is now identical to Big Picture Mode. If you use Big Picture Mode on your PC ever, it is nearly identical. There's a few little things here and there, things with like the controller configs and how stuff is installed that you're going to see some messages, but interface wise it's nearly identical. So and I think Paris, you're a Civilization fan, aren't you?
Oh yeah. As a matter of fact, it's funny, as you've been talking, I've been going through the SteamOS games that are available, and I was looking at it, I was like, oh yeah,
it Civ actually 5. Works really well with the controller, and that's actually what I hear. The game that I thought has worked the best so far.
Yeah. Really nice.
Which ironically enough, that's kind of, for me, that's kind of the system seller on the controller. If I can sit on my big screen and play Civ 5 with that controller, I'm in. You got me. It's worth the $50 just for that.
You know, I was actually thinking about downloading that game too, because I was of course browsing the web trying to figure out like other people that also got this controller and also this Alienware Steam machine and stuff. And I've been noticing a lot of them were always showing that game on their video reviews or on their written reviews and stuff. Huh. So I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm gonna pick up this game. Like, I played the ones in the past. You know, I never downloaded for this, you know, so.
Now, couple questions. So one thing, I don't know if you have Shadow of Mordor. I've heard that Shadow of Mordor, whatever the Steam controller template is for that, works very well. It's very playable. But question I have is on the Alienware itself, because I saw the specs on Godfrey's machine. So it was an i3. Like, yes. You said you had 8 gigs of RAM. Mm-hmm. And that GPU, have they defined exactly what that GPU is? I know it's an NVIDIA set, but it's custom, isn't it?
I couldn't find you know, if it's like a 960 or, you know, what the equivalent is. That's my guess. Right. It's kind of what it's about, like a 960 ish thing, but
that's what I was thinking too. I was like, it's got to probably be a 960, maybe 970 if they're pushing it. But like you're saying so far, so playing native games on there, not streaming, you are able to hit 1080p. Are you getting 60 frames per second
I did in Borderlands. Let's say I've installed Borderlands, Counter-Strike, the newer Counter-Strike. All those have hit it. I haven't tried anything like Shadow Mordor would be a good one to try because it's, you know, a bit newer.
Right.
I haven't installed that yet. I did have an issue with the wireless on it where I couldn't get really good download speeds. So I haven't downloaded a ton, to be honest. Like I was capping out at like 2 or 3 meg.
Oh, I have it connected. I have it connected directly, so it was like faster for me. That's the thing. Like, I even had issues with my PlayStation or Xbox downloading like that wirelessly. Mm-hmm. Once I connected, you know, wired, it was like fast.
Yeah.
To me, you know. So. Well, that brings up another question for me then, because you mentioned before you were doing a little bit of streaming from your PC, so you were doing that over wireless as well.
Yeah, and I had some issues actually. with it because of that. So I haven't hardwired it up yet to test to see if that alleviates it, because I've done streaming to like my MacBook on my couch, you know, for my PC, and it's been pretty smooth. And I also have an NVIDIA Shield, and I've used that for streaming within my house over wireless, and that's pretty smooth too. So I don't see any reason why it couldn't. It's just, you know, maybe bad luck in the placement of where I had the device in my entertainment center or something like that, you know.
Yeah, let me ask you a question about Paris. I know you do like a little bit of streaming from your Xbox to your PC, right?
Yeah, and I also do some streaming from Steam to my Mac Mini.
To the Mac Mini. Okay, so yeah. Do you have that connected wires, like?
Oh no! I'm hardwired all through the house.
Okay.
Yeah, when it comes to that kind of stuff, I don't mess around with wireless. I just go hardwired.
Okay. Today, I'm curious about that. Like how that's gonna be. Connected wire. I think it will be a lot smoother, I think, with the Alienware.
Well, the grand scenario that I'm looking for, because I'm not going to get a Steam machine because, again, I have a high-end PC, so there's no point for me to get one. But yeah. The thing that I'm going to be curious about, and I know you guys don't have it, is the Steam Link, which has been getting some great reviews so far, because my ideal scenario would be out on my big screen to have a Steam Link out there paired with the Steam controller and playing games like Civ 5. So far, like I said, I've played around with on a Mac Mini some of the streaming. I haven't done it recently, but you know, it worked fairly well. Wasn't that bad. So I'm just so curious to see what the final product's going to look like, because I know even right now with the Steam Link and the controller out, Valve, it's basically saying they're still in beta, because there's going to be a lot of updates to come out before the official release on the 10th. And then, like you guys are even saying with the controller support, you're really not going to see the true potential of it until it gets out into the masses and the community starts, you know, playing around with it and getting these templates out there.
Yeah, I agree. I know, look, as a person that just play consoles and not PC, I'm really liking this, man. Like now more than ever, I'm curious about Steam, and also I want to discover more of like those independent games that's not available on other consoles and you only could get it through Steam.
Just wait, man. You know? Steam sale's probably coming up with Halloween. They usually have one around this time.
That's another thing.
And then the winter sale. That's the big one. You know, it's so funny because I've been joking around in the chat about this. I'm waiting on the winter sale before I get GTA 5 because I know it's going to be on sale. I keep waiting.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
But let me ask you guys this question. Can you modify this Alienware box at all? Can you swap out the memory, GPU, anything?
I haven't looked into it, but I know that when they sent us some of the literature on it, like that was one of the things they said that we should talk about. There's a little compartment in the bottom of the thing that I opened up, and there's a USB device in there for the Steam controller, actually. And it looks like that's where there's some screw access to the machine itself. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, to be honest. But my guess is you'll probably be able to do hard drive and memory, but probably not video or processor. Usually in these kind of smaller things, they're soldered on. You know?
Yeah, because that's my one thing that I would give pause to for anyone that wants to pick this up is I'd want access to the GPU to be able to swap it out at some point. Because as you obviously know, you know, the way PC gaming goes, you will get left behind if you don't upgrade at some point. So what's the pricing on this box?
This one is, I believe, $450, correct?
I think so, yeah. It starts at $450.
Because there is three different versions, I think.
Yeah.
And the one that we have is the $450 one. And
so is this considered the low-end one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think it's like there's an i3, an i5, and an i7 version. And then the i7 one has a little bit faster memory on the video card.
Is it, what are they doing? Is it DDR3, DDR5? Or does it, they're not saying?
I don't know if they specifically call it out. It just, it had some kind of marketing speak on it. If you go to the Alienware and look at the thing. Yeah.
But now here's the thing, Nick, like I would love to get, because I know you say you have a lot of games to see. Please send me any recommendations of stuff that will work for this device for me to download. It doesn't matter if it's like independent or not. Okay. Next month I'm gonna get together with a group of people here in my house. We're gonna have a little gaming party, and some of them are really hardcore Steam fans, and some are just console fans. So I just wanna get the reaction, you know, good or bad, of them playing this for the first time, and also trying out the controller. And also gonna have the 360 controller, and you know, I'm probably also gonna, hopefully I could download some games that we could play, you know, local co-op.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that. So, yeah, definitely want to do that.
I will say Steam does a really good job with their recommendation engine. You know, once you do get a couple things and you go to the store and you look at it and it shows kind of who's recommended it, what's related to it, you know, the tagging system, which is important to kind of find some stuff. I mean, I think they're up to like 6,000 titles on Steam, or 7,000 at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's
a pretty big library. So you're right. It's daunting.
Yeah. I mean, right now, I believe there's 1,400 games that works for anywhere Steam machine.
Okay.
And hopefully more in the future. But here's the thing. It's too early. I think from now to launch, and even in the future, there are going to be a lot more updates, a lot more templates that's going to work perfectly for your favorite games out there, you know? So look, I'm not a PC person. Like I'm strictly console, and I'm really enjoying this device, you know, and I see the potential of not, forget about the whole AAA thing, because we could get that anywhere, but those special games that you will not find like in other places, you know, like sometimes I hear Paris and Pete, Mandy, everybody, the whole crew talking about games that, independent games that is not available for the console, and it's only on Steam. And I'm like, all right, I'm gonna try it out to see why these guys are talking about it so much now, you know?
Yeah.
Well, Danny, I have two recommendations for you just as I'm browsing through the library right now.
Please.
SteamOS has the Talos Principle, which you have to play. It's a fantastic game. And also City Skyline. Which is basically like a SimCity game, but it's better than SimCity.
I love SimCity,
which I would think, because matter of fact, the Talos Principle, was this GDC? I believe it was GDC. Gabe Newell was showing it off to Maximum PC, and that was the game that he demoed the Steam Machine controller with, was the Talos Principle.
Okay.
And nice. I can already tell you now, City Skyline would be perfect for that controller. So check those out. Wait for a Steam sale.
Yeah, I'm looking through the Co-Optimist Steam store page on the ones that we've recommended for co-op.
Definitely need for the gaming party. So
yeah, Dungeon of the Endless is a really cool little like roguelike, almost like board game-ish kind of a game.
Okay.
Which is a lot of fun. If you never played any of the Orcs Must Die games, they're pretty fun.
Okay.
Okay. What else we got here?
Ooh, Rogue Legacy is on Steam OS as well.
Mm, interesting.
One of the hardest, most frustrating, fun platformers you'll ever play.
That's awesome.
The Trine games, I think they're supported.
Yeah, Trine's on. I'm looking at it now. Yep. Yeah.
Well, I have a big surprise for our listeners. So here's what we're gonna do. I want for those you know, I love doing fan mail every week. So the next fan mail, I'm going to pick, you know, some the best questions for the show. And I have a special code that Anywhere and Val sent us. This code unlocks every single Val game, past, present, and future.
Can I have it?
All for free. No, Paris, not for you. It's going to be for one of our listeners. So if they release games in the future, that's going to be yours for free.
Half-Life 3.
Every game, Half-Life 3, there you go, or Portal 3 or whatever. Every game they release, it will be yours totally, totally free. All you have to do is send us an email with questions for fan mail, and we're going to pick my favorite question of the episode. So send it to fanmail@gamertagradio.com, and you will get this code ASAP. What do you guys think about that?
No, that's an awesome deal. Yeah, that's hot. I mean, I have virtually every Valve game I could possibly want already, but the fact that you're also going to get future games, yeah, that's a great deal. Cause
so there you go.
It, look, in 50 years when Half-Life 3 comes out, you can get it.
There you go. It's perfect. Perfect, perfect. But yeah, overall, look, man, I'm enjoying it. I would like to thank, you know, Alienware for sending me this device. I was honestly, a little bit, I had a huge question mark, like, man, am I going to like this, you know? And even my brother, he's watching the World Series right now. He's a huge Mets fan, by the way. Shout out to him and stuff. So he's right here watching the game. And the first thing he did was just picked up the controller and looked at it. He looked at the console. He's like, all right, we're going to play definitely when I come here in a couple of days. I'm like, all right, we're definitely going to do that. So we're going to be recording a full review and everything, man, with everybody here at the house. Going to have like a pretty big round table and stuff. So that's going to be fun. So Nick, man, any last thing you want to say about Alienware Steam Machine before we wrap it up?
No, I'm kind of in the same boat as you in terms of I need more time with the machine just to get some more impressions and stuff. I mean, they're updating it every day. It seems like there's OS updates, controller firmware updates. So once it launches on November 10th, then we'll see the state of things. So I think that's a pretty good plan to have. So
yeah, and I see the potential. Like, that's the thing that I wasn't seeing before when they announced this years ago. I was like, oh, yeah, whatever. But now, actually trying it out, I see the potential of this getting even better and better in the future. You know, more games. The controller is going to work even better, you know, for future titles and stuff. And also past titles. So, but remember, it all depends on also the publisher, the developers, if they want to make a change and update their games for the controller to actually work for that game.
Yeah.
You know,
so, it makes me very happy to hear you say that, Danny. It really does.
Because
that's the whole point that Valve, with these Steam machines and the controllers and everything, I think that's part of the reason they created this. They want to get console gamers involved in the PC gaming because there's just so many titles and things that you've not experienced because there's that barrier to entry because it seems very foreign to you. But this, in this way, it comes to you in a package that's similar to a console. You don't have to use a Steam controller. You can plug in a 360 controller or whatever, and you're going to have access to all these games. Like, matter of fact, another game I would love for you to play that is available on Steam OS is Kentucky Route Zero. It's fantastic. I think it's something that you can't get on a console right now, but the story is amazing. You'd love it.
Yeah, definitely. I'm definitely going to. I know everybody's going to be surprised. Wow, Godfrey actually liked this. It's cool, man. You know what? This year has been a very crazy, busy year for us, you know? But I noticed that all of us have been really open with, like, other games. Like, P was always focusing on just one game for years. And, yeah, he will play other titles, but he had that one game. This year, and even last year, I've been trying out different games, man. I just want to, like, enjoy different type of gaming stuff, you know?
Absolutely.
And I think that's, to me, as a fan of gaming, I think that's very, very important, you know, instead of just focusing on just one thing, you know? So,
now, yeah. But before Nick goes, I have to ask this question, and this has nothing to do with Steam Machine. This is actually about Xbox One. Do you have the new dashboard? Are you in that beta?
I literally just got it before I got on this call, show. Yeah, I clicked around a little bit, and then I was like, okay.
Nick, I have a lot of complaints about
that's my point, because you brought up how Valve has been updating everything, and, you know, the official launch is on November 10th, and then we'll see. Microsoft is kind of in a similar boat because, you know, we've been messing around with this dashboard here for the last month or so, and they said November 12th, that's the official date, it's going to be out. I can tell you right now, 3 weeks out, I don't know how they're going to do it because it is a hot mess.
That's what I've heard, man. That's disappointing.
Like, at first, I had a dashboard, and then I was playing Destiny with some friends, and the party chat just disconnect and then connect back, and I got disconnected again. And even when I talk to connect, like, oh, Xbox on, it takes a couple seconds later to recognize my voice, and then it turns on ever since the update, right? Huh. And even when I load up, like, the TV section, because it automatically, as soon as it turns on, it will show that. Sometimes it doesn't even show. It goes straight to, like, the main dashboard, and it will say guide. I'm like, wait a minute, where's my TV stuff? I haven't had this issue before.
Oh,
it was, you know, and then they made a new update. So everything was perfectly fine. But then I go to the ESPN app and I'm watching Monday Night Football. And now the app has gotten even worse.
Yes.
Because of that update.
I honestly don't
like this update at all. At all. Hopefully they could fix it from now to then, but I just don't see it, man.
Yeah, I'll be curious to see what you think since you just installed it. But like you say, I'm to the point where, because the way my setup is right now, I run my television, my cable box and all that through the Xbox One. So that's how my family watches TV out there, right?
Right.
It's so buggy. I have to reboot the Xbox a few times sometimes just to get the TV app to work correctly. My Plex app doesn't work. Like you said, the ESPN app doesn't work. And I understand it's beta, so I'm not complaining. But what I am saying is we're getting close to the deadline here. That if this thing isn't working on November 12th, I'm going to have no choice but to disconnect the Xbox One from the main TV and just put it off in the office or something, because the dashboard is just so unstable right now. Like I said, I don't know how they're going to do it in 3 weeks. I will applaud them if on launch day it works correctly, because I'm not seeing it right now.
Here's another complaint I have to say. Sometimes, let's say Xbox Live is not working. Let's just say it's shut down and I turn on the Xbox and I have this dashboard coming up. All the games that I have as like my pins, none of them shows up. None of them. Like zero.
Yeah.
Right? And it's a mission for me. I have to go to my apps and my games. It's just it's just a mess. Before, let's say Xbox wasn't working, it was perfectly fine. I easily will find my game and just play it and no issues. So I don't know, man. I'm a little bit nervous. I'm not happy with this update at all, man. So yeah, Microsoft, that's for you.
One more
for Nick.
I got one more for Nick. He ain't been on in 8 years. I gotta ask him, right? So
all right.
The Xbox One Elite controller, is it worth the $150? Is this something that you'd get?
I am torn. I see it and I want it, but $150
is, yeah, that's where I am. Same thing.
$150.
A lot of people have been getting it today. People that I know.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Even listeners have been buying this like crazy. And then on Twitter, I read Cheapy D from Cheap Ass Gamer. He posted that two different Best Buys sold out in New York City. I'm in shock. It's $150.
Everybody's the next esport champion. They need their... I don't know.
Oh my God, that's true.
That's the only thing I can figure.
And that's been my main issue, because, like, you know, Pete, we've been arguing back and forth. He was like, of course you got to get it, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, but dude, I'm not an esport person. I'm not competing. Why would I spend $150 to get a controller that makes me slightly worse than I already suck at? You know what I mean? It's like, come on, I'm not spending that amount. So,
you know what, Paris? I heard great things about the controller, though.
No. Don't get me wrong. Like Nick said, I look at it. I want it. Trust me, I want it. I just can't wrap my head around spending triple the price I would normally spend for a controller.
That's three games or even more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And with Steam, you could even get them even more to the cheap prices.
Exactly. Yeah. Maybe if it was $100, it'd be a little bit easier to justify, but $150 is like,
you know what? $80 to $100. I see that. I could, you know, spend some $100 to get that controller, but man, $150, that's a lot to me, man.
Man, that's a Wii U.
There you go. That's crazy, man. No, but honestly, Paris hit me up earlier today before we wrap it up. He was like, Godfrey, I'm in shock. How many people actually bought this?
Yeah.
He was not expecting that. And here's the thing, too. Like, I've been noticing now publishers and companies are announcing they're going to have their own esport type company. You know, Activision, and now PlayStation is probably going to be doing one, too.
Yeah.
That's the hot thing now, Paris. We're old dinosaurs, man. We can't.
No, I know. And I'm about to go extinct because I can't afford $150 for a controller. That's all I'm saying.
Oh my God. I don't know. I feel like a pro playing with my Titanfall controller, man. So I'm good playing that with Halo 5. So I'm good, man. All right. So Nick, one more time, mention your website, man, so people can check it out.
All right, they can check it out at cooptimus.com. It's co-optimus.com. And it's everything co-op gaming. Come check us out.
And we've been getting a lot of emails about split screens and local co-op, online co-op. This is the perfect site if you want to get like recommendations for games. And they review a lot of games too that is just for that. So, Nick, I love that concept. Not that many people are actually doing that. So it's pretty, pretty cool, man. Props to you guys, man.
Thank you, man.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I remember when you guys first started, I was like, man, that's a great idea. Wish I would have thought of it.
Genius. Yeah.
Came out of my own necessity. I need the info, so I might as well share it with everybody else.
Yeah, might as well, man. All right, head over to GamertagRadio.com or play.it. Listen to our past episodes and give us a call, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. Or email us, fanmail@GamertagRadio.com. All right, if you have Halo 5, join our clan or Spartan Company, whatever you want to call it. You can join us, look up Gamertag Radio. We're there. One of these days, Paris, we got to plan this out. I would love to play with our listeners. We'll have like a game night, just strictly Warzone, Arena. We'll try everything else, man, online. What'd you think?
No, it sounds like a plan. Let's do it.
All right, we're going to plan it out. Hopefully by next week, we'll give you like an official date so we can make this happen and stuff. So if you see me online or you see Paris, hit us up and we'll play some games online and stuff, which I've been doing that a lot for the past few days and stuff. So, and that's it, Paris. Anything else before we wrap it up?
No, I think that's about it, man. Just keep sending the feedback. We really appreciate it. And I cannot wait to get my hands on that Steam controller.
Definitely, definitely. And also, we'd like to give a shout out to Alienware. Thanks once again to sending us this Steam machine. Pretty, pretty cool, man. So, and that's it. Remember, hit up, P Rock and Patrick. If you see them on Twitter or online, hit them up and stuff. And we have more goodies coming up in the future, man. So we're working behind the scenes for more future interviews. I'm looking at you, Paris.
You almost made me say something that I can't say on the podcast.
Don't say it, okay. All right. Until next week, we're out. Peace.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Thanks for listening. Tune in next week.